that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so we'll go down through these verses tonight and just take a common title to it is Jesus Stills the Storm. That's what it says in my Bible between the verses there is a heading. And there's a lot of ways you could rephrase that, but that's what happens. That's what we'll call it. Jesus Stills the Storm. And I want to begin tonight and go back and read verse 34 and verse 35 together and sort of give some context of what's going on. The Bible said in verse 34, But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they are alone he expounded all things to his disciples, and the same day. So we see here we're talking about the same day, and chapter 4 is being a chapter about his teaching by the parables or using parables. And so chapter number 4 is a whole day of teaching that has gone on. And then it said in verse 35, And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And as I think about the, keeping things in context and time frame, what's happening here, and we see in verse number 34, we could call the first part of chapter 4, we could call that classroom work. And then you get into the beginning of chapter number 35 down through the end of the chapter, and that's what that we would call on-the-job training. Sometimes we have both. When I was in the military, we always had a classroom time, and we learned from books and definitions and history and things like that, and then we had what they called on-the-job training. You just go out there and get your hands dirty, and you learn by experience how to do something, and that's really the best way to learn something. So we've had classroom time, and now we're going to have on-the-job training. We're going to have this Jesus Stills the Storm, and they get ready to pass over to the other side. And every day, it says there in verse number 35, and the same day, every day is a lesson if we'll only see it. Every day we can learn something to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it always helps to keep the big picture in mind. A lot of times we get overwhelmed by storms, but if we look at this passage of Scripture, first of all, starting in verse 35, and then we're going to skip down to chapter 5, verse 1, but it said in verse 35, in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. Now look down chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. That's the big picture. Keeping the big picture in mind. Jesus said, we're going to go over. And yes, there was a rough crossing to get over there. But if the Lord Jesus says, this is what we're going to do, you can mark it down. We are going to go over. Now, the going over is not promised to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be very rough, and we might think we're not going to go over. But if the Lord shows us and tells us that we're going to go over, then it's going to be all right. So in the big picture, we're going to go over, and that's exactly what they do. And it would help us to always keep the big picture in mind of what's going on. Now, there's just about four or five things in this passage of Scripture I want us to look at. And we'll start first of all with the storm. We've already read verse number 35. Jesus said, let us pass over. Verse number 36, they sent away the multitude. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. But in verse, and so we see they send the multitudes away. The Lord Jesus, he's already in the ship. They load up. They're headed over to the other side. And in verse number 37, we have the storm. That's what we're going to look at first of all tonight. There's just the storm. It said in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." And so we find the storm first of all. And it is a fact of life that we're all going to have storms. And none of us are exempt from having storms in our life. It doesn't matter if we are like the disciples. And we have to realize tonight that it wasn't just the disciples in their ship. But if you look back in verse number 36, it says there were also with him other little ships. And so if they're crossing at the same time and they're on the same body of water, they're in the storm too. So we might be somebody that's mentioned by name, or we don't know anybody by name in these other ships, but they are involved in the storm as well. Nobody is exempt from having storms and problems and tribulations and all these things go on in our lives. And I believe that's what this is a picture of here, a storm. Storms that come into our lives. Now, there's two things we can say about this storm. First of all, there's the storm without the ship. And what I mean, on the outside of the ship, verse 37, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind." And so here we have what we might say, a compact picture of life. What I mean by that, this happens in all of our lives. We have times in our lives where, like in verse number 35, everything is fine and wonderful. And no doubt it was. Just back in verse 35, when it said, "The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." At that point in time, everything was fine. Everything was wonderful. There was no, as far as they knew, or as far as we can tell from this passage of Scripture, there's no danger on the horizon whatsoever. It's been a good day. And we studied chapter number 4. A lot of teaching. A lot of souls have been reached. A lot of good has been done. There's been good fellowship. There's been an enjoyable time. And so they're just going to continue on throughout the evening with the rest of the day. And they're expecting more of the same. But within a short period of time, the sky got black. And the clouds begin to roll in. And the wind begin to blow. And the rain begin to fall. And no doubt the lightning and the thunder and all these things. See, it didn't take long. This is all in the same evening. It's all in the same nighttime period that we're talking about here, that things go from being very good to being very bad. And everything I've read and studied about this passage of Scripture, when it says in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm," that was of hurricane proportions. It's not just a little rain shower. It's not just this is just going to pass over. This is a horrendous storm that has come upon them all of a sudden. And that is just like it happens in life. Everything can be fine and wonderful, and the next thing you know, you turn around and your whole life is turned upside down. I talked to Brother Stephen the other day, and he was telling me what had happened with Ethan. He said it just happened, you know, they went to bed, they'd been playing, and everything was fine. And then he woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the next thing you know, the ambulances come, and here they are in Charlotte. I mean, it can happen just like that. It does happen just like that. That is how life is. And so this storm, it just comes up all of a sudden. And if you've ever been out, and I'm not a seafaring person, or I've never been around water very much in my life, but I have been out on a big reservoir, a big lake out in Idaho, and I went with some boys in church, and we were fishing, and it was just a beautiful day, and we got a long ways away from the shore, and is surrounded by this big canyon all around, and happened sort of like this. A storm blew in out of out of nowhere. And you talk about a praying preacher. I was saying, oh, I want to be right with God. It was serious. So I'm not going to throw off on the disciples and say, they shouldn't have acted like that, because it's a scary thing. And so here they are, and they're in the middle of this storm, and it is a very scary experience. Now, they are experienced fishermen, most of them, but they're still come to the point where they are afraid for their lives. We'll get to that in just a minute. Carest thou not that we perish? And so it seems to me that stormy times, adversity, problems, seem like there's more than our share. Seem like it, you know, there's times in life where everything seems like it's going pretty good. But then it comes to a time and it seems like it's just one storm right after another. And so we come to this passage of Scripture tonight. I believe it, if we let it, it'll speak to our hearts, because there's so many families going through storms. It's a stormy time. So we ought to be able to gather something from this. So the storm without. First of all, we see that. Now that's bad enough. That's serious. They're out on the water and the wind begins to blow and the great storm comes. That's bad enough. That's serious. But the next thing we see is critical, and that's the storm within. Now, if you're out on a ship and there's a great storm, that's bad. But as long as you can keep the storm on the outside, you're going to be all right. But when the storm begins to get on the inside, you're not going to be all right. And that's what happens here in the next part of verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So we had the storm without, that's bad enough, but now it starts to get on the inside. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And we might think that we're pretty tough in life and we're able to handle things and we'll be all right. You know, so many times people put on the tough exterior and, you know, sort of stoical about their situation. Well, we're not going to get too high, we're not going to get too low, we're just going to go through it, everything's going to be all right. And we try to have what the British used to say, the stiff upper lip. But you know, proportionally speaking, how much of that sea had to get into that ship in order to sink it? Not much. I mean, if you filled the whole ship up with water, the sea wouldn't go down at all. It wouldn't take much. It's just going to take some waves getting to come in consistently over the side of this ship. And it's not going to take, we're not talking about a very large vessel here. We're talking about what do you think, a dozen, 20 people, something like that, and boy, it starts to come in. It's not going to take much until the whole thing is going to sink. And the storm without is alarming and it's frightening, but when it begins to get in, it's deadly and it's a hopeless situation and it's a fatal situation. Nobody here tonight is above being overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. You know, we think, well, this happens. It doesn't take long. And it would, nobody here is so spiritual or so tough or so courageous that you can't get down in a hurry. I mean, things can happen in life that are very, very tragic, that just absolutely knocks the wind out of us. Think about Job. He was a good man. He eschewed evil. He tried to live for God. He prayed. He done all of these things. In one day, all his children died. In one day. Life can bring about horrific storms. And we need the Lord. We think we're tough, or we might see somebody else go through something and we say, well, you know, they just need to trust the Lord. Well, it's real easy to sit on the sidelines and say how we think somebody else ought to go through something. But I'm telling you, you wait till you get in that ship and the water begins to come in and it's dark and you think you're getting ready to go down. Nobody here is above being overwhelmed with fear, despair, depression. I mean, all those things are real. And it can happen to any of us. Now, I think that's the lesson here. I think that's something that maybe we don't realize sometimes. What's the lesson behind this storm? We're talking about the disciples are scared to death. We're not even talked about the little ships, what they're going through. This is the disciples. If anybody ought to have not been afraid during the storm, it should have been the disciples. They got the Lord on board. But they're afraid that they're going to die during this thing. So we're talking about the disciples. And if the disciples themselves can get to the point that they think that they're going to perish, what about us? We can become overwhelmed with the storms. If it's on the outside, we can keep it on the outside, that's wonderful and good. But once it begins to come over, spill into our lives, we think about 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But the spirit of fear is a real thing. It's not an imaginary thing. It can come into our lives. And I know we've all experienced that, maybe for no reason. Have you ever had your wife go away, or maybe your husband go away, or maybe your children, they go spend the night somewhere, and all of a sudden you get this dark cloud in your mind? What if something happened to them? What if they were real sick? What if they were in an accident? And you know, that spirit of fear, that's a real thing. Or somebody really gets sick, or gets a phone call from the doctor, or business goes bad, or trouble at work. I mean, there's a thousand things can cause us to have real fear in our lives. What do we do? How do we handle that? When it gets inside, it's going to cause a lot of destruction. It's going to cause a lot of damage. So there's the storm without, but then the storm within. Second of all, though, there's the question of the disciples. Look in verse number 38. We know what's happening on the ship. And he, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's the question of the disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. Carest thou not that we perish? And overwhelming circumstances can make us do and say things that we wouldn't otherwise say or do. And that's what we find here in verse number 38. Carest thou not that we perish? I mean, nobody was asking that earlier. Nobody was asking the Lord that when they were on the shore. And the sun was shining. And it was a beautiful day and things were going pretty good. Nobody came up and said, carest thou not that we perish? It wasn't even an issue then. But then they get out here on the sea and they get in this storm and they begin to bail water out and they're throwing out two buckets and tin is coming into the ship and they see they're in a critical situation. And now all of a sudden, well, Lord, don't you care about me? Lord, don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're about to die? That's what they were doing. It was dark. And to me, that would make it that much worse. And it was scary, and it was, they should have known. It's easy for us. They should have known they was going to be all right. I mean, they's in the boat with the Lord. They should have known that they were as safe as he was. Did you notice that they were not concerned that the Lord was going to drown? Wouldn't you think them disciples, if that they would be concerned about the Lord? But not a one of them went back and said, Lord, are you all right? I believe they knew in their heart and their mind that somehow, some way, the Lord Jesus was going to be all right. But they were concerned about their own necks. They didn't go back and say, Lord, are you okay? They went back and said, Lord, don't you care about us? So they knew that nothing was going to happen to him. But they was afraid something was going to happen to them. But they should not, of course we're looking at it from a safe distance here, they should not have been worried to the point that they were. They should have known they were going to be just fine. But instead they go back and they say, Carest Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now we, like I said, we're viewing this from a safe distance. And we can say tonight, isn't that silly of them to ask the Lord that question? To go to the Lord and say, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to die? Of course the Lord cares. We know that He cares. It's easy to sing the song and it's easy to quote the verse, casting all your care upon Him for He careth for you. It's very easy to say that and quote that when things are going fine. But when we're in the storm, it feels different to us. And it's easy to begin to wonder. And sometimes under pressure and adversity and tribulation and peer pressure and all these things, we say and do things we wouldn't otherwise say and do. And that's how they were. They said, "Carest thou not that we..." Don't you care that we're going... And I'm sure we've all been there when we've had trials and tribulations and we get to that dark place, sometimes we say, well, does the Lord really care? Yes, He does care. He does care. But they ask the question. Now, here's the response in verse number 39. And I like this, the response of the Lord Jesus, verse 39. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. There we find the response in verse number 39. And there's about three things I want to point out. Number one, and He arose. Now, that just sounds good, just like that. I think everything's going to be all right. He arose. He didn't stay there asleep. He didn't say, it'll be all right. He got up. He got up, and I like that. And the Bible says He arose, and it says, and rebuked the wind. Now, He didn't rebuke them. Now, they are, oh ye of little faith. And they come and they sort of accuse the Lord. Carest thou not that we perish? But first thing He does, He doesn't get up and jump all over them. The first thing He rebuked the wind. Now, there is a time and a place to deal with the disciples and their lack of faith and their fear that they had. And He gets to that, but I like this. First thing He does, He rebukes the wind. He takes care of the storm. He does not rebuke them when their heart is in despair and they think that they're going to die. He doesn't get up and jump all over. He rebuked the wind. He took care of a very... And I think we need to take note of this. He rebuked a very real problem that was going on. This wasn't some imaginary thing. This was real. The ship was going to go down. And I believe, and I'll not get all into this tonight, but I believe that the source of the storm, I believe the devil was trying to drown the Lord Jesus. He was trying to stop the Lord Jesus in His earthly work. Of course, Satan can start a storm, but he can't finish it if the Lord stops it. And so the Lord stopped it. And the Lord rebuked the wind, the Bible says. We have here the Creator commanding creation. He's got control over the wind. He rebuked the wind. And I like this. And said unto the sea, peace be still. Said unto the wind, peace be still. There's a capital P there. That means that's a direct quote. There's not You don't find quotation marks in the Bible, but the punctuation is still there. There's a comma, there's a capital letter. That's a direct quotation. This is what he said. Peace, be still. And so what happened? The peace, be still. And I want to say this, where it says, and said unto the sea, this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? Peace, be still. It's what he cried out. There's no peace apart from his word. Peace comes from the word of God. There's no peace apart from that. There's no peace in counseling. I'm not anti-counseling, but you'll never find any peace in counseling. You'll never find any peace until the Word of God speaks to your heart. That's where the peace has to come from. There's no peace in therapy. There's no peace in a pharmacy. There's no peace in a distillery. Well, there's a lot of people trying to find peace in a bottle. Trying to find peace at a bar. Trying to find peace in drugs and alcohol and all of these things. There's no peace in discussion. People like to talk. You can talk to your best friend until you're blue in the face. You'll not find any peace there. The only place to find peace is to look to the Word of God and in faith acquire it unto your heart, or the Spirit of God, apply it into your heart. That's where you find peace. And there is no peace apart from the word of the Lord Jesus. But what happened when he said, peace be still, there was peace. Has he ever spoken peace to your heart? Troubled, couldn't find no answer, couldn't find no rest, but you found a promise in the word of God. And there was peace. Come from that. So we have a picture of that as well. Now, what happened when he said, peace be still? The last thing we'll see tonight. The fourth thing is the effect of it. It said in the last part of verse number 39, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The first thing that happened, the wind ceased. We went to bed the other night. What night was it the wind blew so bad? Was that Sunday night? Monday night, I can't remember. But we went to bed, and you know the wind's always blowing, but it was really howling the other night. And I laid down there beside Kim, and was getting ready to turn the light out, or maybe we just had turned the light out, and I mean it's like a freight train going by outside. We've got big old trees around the house like most people do, and I told her, I said, I really do hate to hear that. During the day, it's not so bad, but laying there at night, and I said, I really do hate to hear that like that right when we're going to bed. And I said, well, let's just pray about it. And we said a little prayer. I said, Lord, there ain't a thing we can do about it. God, just keep us safe through the night. And you know what happened? The wind ceased. Or either I slept so good, it didn't bother me. I think Kim slept pretty good too, but what can you do sometimes? Sometimes you can't do a thing. There wasn't a thing I could do about that except just pray about it and trust the Lord. He can take care of the storm. And I'm sure it still continued to blow for a little while, but the Lord's able. And many times God just has to take care of it. And so he took care of the storm. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, did you notice as you were reading over this, or maybe when we read it, in verse number 37, the Bible says there arose a great storm. But in verse number 39, there was a great calm. The Lord Jesus, at his word, there was a great calm. Psalms 107 verse number 29 says, he maketh the storm a calm. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. We say like this, we say, I believe a storm is coming. God says, I believe a calm
is coming. He maketh a storm a calm. C-A-L-M, a calm. He maketh the storm a calm. And so there was a great calm. Verse number 40. Now, I said he didn't rebuke the disciples right away. He took care of the storm, first of all. But now he begins to deal with them and their heart and what was going on. And then they came, woke him up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" So he deals with the disciples here beginning in verse number 40. The Bible said, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Why is it that you're fearful? I believe we have to go back to verse number 35. Why is it that the Lord said that to them in verse number 40? Now that's a rebuke. That's a rebuke. He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" What did they have to put their faith in to begin with? They should have been content that the Lord Jesus had already said in verse number 35, "Let us pass over unto the other side." They got in that ship in full assurance and faith that they were going to the other side. But on the way over, the great storm came, the great problems came, and the terrible outlook came, and all of a sudden they lost all that faith that they originally got on the ship with. And I believe that's why the Lord gently rebukes them here. He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Have you ever heard somebody say before, what God shows you in the day, don't forget in the dark. What God shows you in the light, don't forget in the dark. That's really good advice if you've ever been through some storms and you begin to doubt and you begin to wonder about this thing and that thing. And what would be good for us is to take a spiritual inventory from time to time. And maybe to remember what the Lord has showed us in the daylight. Because we're all going to go through storms. It'd be good. What do you know tonight? If you were to say, pack a spiritual emergency box, what could you, without any shadow of a doubt, put in that for a emergency that's going to come down the road? You ought to be able to put into that, "I know that I'm saved." I really believe it's God's will that His children know that they are saved. "These things have I written unto you that you may know that ye have eternal life." Because when the storm comes, sometimes the old devil comes along and says, "Oh, you're not saved." When problems come, when sickness comes, when things come into our life, what do you know tonight that you could put on a piece of paper? You ought to say, "I know that I'm saved." I've heard a lot of preachers, and I can testify as well, I know as much the Lord called me to preach as I know that I'm saved. That come out right? I mean, I'll say it a different way. I really know that the Lord called me to preach. There's no doubt in my mind. And whatever it is that God, if God has called you to do something, you ought to really know that God has called you to do it, because you're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have problems. You're going to have times of doubt. You're going to have failures, and it's going to make you say, "I really don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this or not." Whatever it is that God has called you to do, put you to doing, if it's teaching, if it's singing in the choir, whatever it is, you ought to know it. You ought to know that you're saved. I know some things. I know that I'm supposed to be at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Do you know you're supposed to be here? You ought to. You ought to say just as much, "Mount Lebanon is my church home. I know I'm supposed to be there. God sent me there. I'm supposed to serve there, be there. I have responsibility. You ought to know that. That helped people. I know when we were young and Dad first started going to Texas, he brought us jumping beans. I think they called them Mexican jumping beans. I don't know why, but they come in a little package. And sure enough, them little things jump all over the place. Sometimes people are like that spiritually. They don't get settled down somewhere. They're jumping all over the place. I don't believe that's the Lord's will. Well, to say, God sent me there. I got something to do. I got my place. Well, to know these things. I know I'm supposed to be on the radio. I know I'm supposed to be teaching in the school. Whatever it is you're supposed to do. Whatever it is that you can put down. I know God has put me here. Remember that in the light. When problems come, remember it in the dark. So the Lord said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And fear robs us of our faith. Fear is a terrible spiritual drain upon us. Fear is an awful thing. That's why the Lord came to Joshua. He said, be of a good courage. Fear not. Don't be afraid. It robs you of your faith. So he gently rebukes them there in verse number 40. Then in verse number 41, it said this. And I thought about this. What does this mean? And they feared exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now they're not afraid of the storm. But when it said in verse number 41, and they feared exceedingly, now their eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they should have been to begin with. The first fear is devastating. The second fear in verse number 41 is actually a good thing, because what we see here, we see them getting a new vision, a new appreciation, a new understanding for just who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, they've already seen all kinds of things. And I'm not going to go back through the first four chapters, but just a few things. What have they already seen? They've already seen the devils cast out. They've already seen the lepers healed, the palsied man's hand healed. They've seen the multitudes healed. They've seen sins forgiven. They have seen all of these things done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they see him stand up and say, peace be still. And it immediately happened. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, they see anew. They see something they've never seen before. That's what it means in verse number 41. They feared exceedingly. They are in their close association with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're being amazed every day. And you know, there's a lesson for us there as well. If we are really as close to the Lord as we ought to be, you know what? We're going to be amazed every day at his power, at his strength, at his mercy, at his wisdom, at his understanding, at his nearness unto us in times of trouble and sorrow and heartache and storms and all that. It's a wonderful journey to know and learn more about the Lord Jesus every day, every day. And so they learn something else. Even the sea and the wind. Man, he's amazing. And he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus stills the storm. And boy, what a good lesson for us tonight as I look around and think about all the storms people's going through. Some not even here tonight. But there's a lot of storms going on. I'm glad he's able to still the storm. Still today, the Lord is able. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but the Lord does. The Lord does. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And so we get done with chapter number 4. I've really enjoyed that. I look forward to chapter number